All right, so someone remind me, what have we been studying the last couple weeks? Oh, we're going to see who's paying attention. What? A gospel life. What does that mean? You haven't been here. Well, you need to start coming. A what? A bumper sticker?
Yeah.
We talked about the bumper stickers, right? Okay. What else about gospel life? What have we learned about it so far? How would you describe a gospel life? Ooh, tricky question.
It's your life.
It's your life. That's a great explanation. Yes. Who can tell me? What's this gospel we're talking about? Anyone know what the gospel is? It's in the Bible. It's good news. Specifically, what is it? What's the story? What is this good news that we're going to go tell people? If you ran up to someone and you're like, hey, Chelsea, I have great news for you. And you're like, what is it? And you're like, great news.
What is it?
Great news.
What is it?
Great
what
news.
What kind of great news?
Oh, exactly. So tell me, what is this great news we're trying to tell people that's called the gospel? Yes. Yes, that Christ Jesus paid for our sins so that we could be made right with God again. That's really, really, really good news. AJ?
Gospel life is trying to be a disciple to other people.
Yeah, trying to be a disciple and help others become disciples. We're actually going to look at some of that tonight. Good. So you guys are picking up on some of this. Let's keep digging in. Open up to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, we're going to keep trucking through Mark here. We're going to start in verse 35, and as you turn, I'm going to tell you, a couple of people have been asking me, where did you get that scar that just popped up on your face over your eye? And I have to tell this shameful story. So I'll just tell all of you at once, you don't have to ask me anymore. I was hunting just at the end of this hunting season, and as I was out there, I knew there were some deer showing up at this one awesome plot. So I'd go out to that spot really early in the morning. But the deer beat me there. So I couldn't get up in my stand. So what I had to do was take my gun. And there's this like scope. Have you ever seen a rifle? They have scopes on them. And what do you use a scope for?
To aim.
What else? To like look through. Yeah, to see the deer because they're far away. So I'm having to like, I can't get up in my stand. I have to like sneak up on this deer. And there's like all this like bushes and stuff. I'm going to try to get around. I'm trying to hold my gun and look at the deer. And he's like sniffing me. And she's about to run away. So anyway, I get this like scope right up to my eye. And I pop. And the gun comes back and hits me right in the face.
Ow.
Oh, yeah. It almost knocked me out. So I'm all upset. I'm like, oh. And I didn't realize like what it had done to me. I'm just kind of like grumpy and kicking the ground. Like, oh, I missed the deer and blah, 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 blah. And I'm walking back. And one of my buddies runs out and sees me. And I'm like covered in blood. And he's like, because it had like hit, and it was just like, whenever your head bleeds, it bleeds a lot, even though it's like a little teeny cut. So it looked like something really bad, and he's like, did you shoot yourself? And I'm like, no, I didn't shoot the deer either. And I'm all ticked off. But anyway, there's something really cool about that rifle is that that scope is really important because it helps you know where your target is, and it helps you stay on target. It helps you see what you're aiming at and stay right there. And so the story about Jesus that we're going to see tonight, Jesus kind of has that theme going on. We're looking at how Christ, in the middle of like a bunch of chaos and a bunch of craziness going on, is able to stay on target. It's almost like he's got this awesome scope that helps him see his mission, why he's on earth, and live this awesome gospel life that is just focused in on exactly what God wants him to do. So let's read this real quick. Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. It says, "In rising very early in the morning," most of us have never done that before, right? Be honest. "While it was still dark," I know you haven't done that. Unless it was to get up and get a snack out of the fridge, yeah. "He departed and went out to a desolate place." That means a really lonely place where nobody's at. "And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, 'Everyone's looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that's why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." So here's Jesus. And remember, let's just ask a quick question here before we start so we know kind of what the context is. Why is Jesus waking up so early in the morning? Like, what got into him? Is he just like an early bird? Is he a morning person? You remember why?
He's praying to God.
He was going to pray. What else? You remember back from where we just left off last week?
No, I haven't been here.
That's right, you haven't. You haven't, so you definitely don't remember. Mark 1, 32 and 33. We'll just back up before a passage. Let me remind you. This is what happened. "That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door." So in the evening, the night before, Jesus has the entire town at the door of this house where he's going to spend the night. And what do they want? we're sick. We need to be healed. Yeah, or we've got a demon out here. We need to come cast out, or like whatever. Just all these different like things that they needed from Jesus to come out and do what only Jesus could do. And it says the entire town is there. I can't even imagine what time Jesus actually went to bed. It was probably really late. So then they finally get to bed, and the next morning Jesus is thinking, man, I've been doing all this ministry. I've been healing people. I've been casting out demons. I'm tired, A, but B, I need something. I need to get away. I need to get away from all these people. And if I wake up too late and try to get out of here, they're already going to be standing at my doorstep waiting for me, and I'll never get out. And then when I try to leave, they're going to follow me wherever I go, and I'm never going to find a time alone to just talk to my God. So Jesus is like, I got to get up really, really early in the morning. Now, somebody said he got up early to do what? Remind me? To pray. How many of you guys get up first thing in the morning and pray? Huh? How'd he get up? I don't know. It doesn't say. Maybe he was a rooster. He's Jesus. Maybe he was, I don't know.
He was awakened by the Spirit.
But yeah, maybe the Spirit, but he woke up, dude. He did it. And you guys have alarm clocks in a lot of times sleeping. You know what I'm saying? You can learn a lesson here from this. But Jesus did it. He woke really early. It was still dark. And he went to pray. Now listen to this for a second. Why do you think he did it first thing in the morning?
So none of the other people were awake.
Okay, A, because there's a lot of people coming to bug him. So he has that. Why else do you think in the morning? Why couldn't he have just waited till they left and then gone and done it at night?
Because it's a good way to start your day.
It is a good way to start your day. I'd be careful about saying it's the only way to do your devotions. You have to wake up first thing in the morning or else it's sin if you don't do it first thing in the morning. I don't think it's some legalistic rule we can place and say you have to do it this way. But I think it is a really, really good example that Jesus gives us, because you know what it does for you if you do it first thing in the morning, guys? You know what it does for you? It starts your whole day, like Chelsea said, focused on what's most important. So as you're trying to live a gospel life and everything needs to be focused on Jesus, you're able to start your day off that way and the rest of your day stay focused on Christ. I'll tell you, it's hard for me to do it in the morning. It's just hard. I'm not a morning person at all. My brain doesn't even function until about 3 or 4 hours after I had my coffee in the morning. Like, it's a while before I can actually do that type of stuff. But it's good. Because the whole rest of your day, as you've read the Word and you've prayed to God, you're thinking about Him. And your mind's focused on Him right from the beginning. And so Jesus did this, and He noticed something. All these people are coming back. There's going to be a whole lot of ministry to do. There's going to be more sick people, more demons, more work for God. I don't dare try to go do this by myself. I don't dare go try to do this without getting the power that I need from God the Father before I go try to do this ministry. And so if we're living gospel lives, what should we be doing? Loving people really well, right? Serving other people. Well, guess what? In order to do that well, we need to be talking to God. We need to be reading His Word. We need to be getting His strength to be able to do that, not try to do it on our own. And so that's kind of what Jesus was doing there. But He did it really, really early. Now, I'll tell you what. Getting up early for no reason does not usually happen for me. There has to be a really, really good reason to do that. I was, where did I go? I went hunting for a week, and I was up kind of, when you go hunting for deer, you get to wake up really early in the morning. Any deer hunters in here? Some of you, a few of you, all right? Even duck hunting, most hunting happens early. So you got to wake up when it's still dark, just like Jesus did, and it's crazy. And you're exhausted and you're lugging all your stuff out there. It's not easy, especially if you go out for a whole week like I did and saw absolutely nothing. I didn't even see squirrels. Nothing. There weren't even bugs around. I was like, there's no wildlife in this place. Why am I here? Every single morning, and then I'd sit out all day long and see nothing for a whole week. And by the end of the week, I'm thinking, I'm not getting up tomorrow. I haven't seen anything. It hasn't paid off. What's the point of waking up so early? And so finally, that day, I saw a whole bunch of deer. Yeah, a whole bunch of deer. And I'm thinking, all right, tomorrow morning, it's on. I'm going to get up 10 minutes earlier than usual. I'm going to have all my stuff ready. And I was so pumped, you know, and I got up, and it wasn't hard at all. Well, what was the difference?
You were focused.
I knew there were going to be deer, right? I knew there was a reason, and it made me want to. And so Jesus had this awesome reason to get up in the morning. It wasn't like, oh, I guess I got to do this, but I know that this is going to pay off in my day. I know that this is going to be worth doing, so I'm going to get up early and I'm going to do this. And look what he does. He wakes up early. He leaves his house. Why do you think he left the house? I mean, how many of you guys get up and you're like, in the morning I'm going to get up to read my Bible, so I'm going to like go across town and then read my Bible out there in the woods? Anybody? You do not. Don't lie. Why did Jesus leave the house? Why do you think that's important that he left his house?
Because no one would find him there and stop him from talking to his God.
Yeah, nobody's going to be a distraction to him there. He knew people were coming to the house. So again, this isn't some rule that you can't do your devotions in your house. I'm not making a rule. I'm just saying that he wanted to get away from distractions. And what happens if you're going to try to do your devotion in the morning? You're going to read the Word of God and pray, and you're sitting right in front of your Xbox. Or maybe the TV's on in the background, and you're sitting there trying to read your Bible, and your favorite show comes on. What are you going to end up doing? Probably watching your show, or like right by the phone where your friend's going to text you every like 2 seconds to tell you some really funny joke or send you some stupid like picture that's going to make you laugh really hard. What are you going to do? You're going to text. You're going to get distracted from what you're actually trying to do. So Jesus said, you know what? This is so important to me that I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave this house and I'm going to go where there's no one else at so that I can be completely alone because this really matters to me. So maybe for you, what this looks like is I'm going to be willing to put the Xbox away. I'm going to be willing to turn my phone off and put it down, get away from the TV, close my door, get alone where I'm not going to be distracted. Some of us have a hard time sitting here listening to a message with all these stories and stuff. We can't even stop talking. Well, because we're so distracted. That's what our minds are like in junior high. We're doing it right now. We need to come to the point where we can say, hey, Jesus, you mean so much to me. I'm willing to put the distractions aside. I'm willing to stop distracting other people so that we can do what's most important, and it's talk about our God. Jesus was like, I'm leaving this house. I'm getting away from these distractions, not just because of the distractions, but because it meant so much to him that he wouldn't be interrupted. Like, God really means that much. Have you ever tried to have a conversation with somebody, and you have that other friend that's always like, Hey. And you're like, dude, we're talking. Hold on a second. He's like, hey. No, hey, hold on. Hey. And you're like, no, we're trying to talk. You don't get. And they just keep like interrupting, right? Well, how does that make you feel?
Annoyed.
Oh, leave us alone. This is important. I want to try to have this conversation. It's important to me. Please, just wait a minute. Like, how do you think it is when you're trying to like get with the God of all creation and talk to him? And it's like, oh, hold on, wait a minute. And you're constantly distracted. How much do you really think you're going to get out of that relationship if you're not really actually focused on him? And so Jesus was like, this means something. I'm putting some faith behind these actions here, and I'm going to go out and get alone. And it says, he went off to a solitary place, which means there was no one else there. He's all by himself. Just him and who else? Who's God to Jesus? His father. Like, I'm going to go spend time with Dad. I'm going to go spend time. I've been working with all these people. I love these people. It's nothing against them. Jesus loved people. But he needed some time with his dad. And he's like, I'm going to go get alone with my father and just work on my relationship with him right now. Just talk to him. Just commune with him. I remember when I was little, my dad used to have, him and I used to have guy time. That's what we called it. And he would like take me out. We'd go fishing all the time. And we'd eat Doritos just like by the bags. It was crazy. I loved it. And so we'd sit there and we'd fish. And I remember this one time we were fishing, and I actually caught a fish. I'm the worst fisherman in the world, by the way. I'm not Matt Denier. And so I like reel something. I actually got a fish. I'm like, woohoo, it's a fish. And as I got closer, I'm like, wait a minute, that ain't a fish. And it had like one of those big, and so I thought it was a gator. I'm like pulling at a gator. I felt like swamp people. I'm like, woohoo, like I got a gator. What's going on? As it comes up close, have you ever seen a gar? You guys know what a gar is? Yeah, those things can like bite your arm off. I didn't know that. And so I'm like reeling this thing all proud. And I remember some crazy times with my dad. But you know what I remember most? Just being with my dad. Like how awesome it was that I was able to sit there and just fish with my dad. And just talk about whatever I wanted to with him. And there was no one else to distract us except some fish, you know, some gar. But like other than that, it was just him and me. And it was awesome. And I still remember times like that because it was just us. And I was able to talk to him and just tell him how much I love him and spend time with him and know that he cares for me. And Jesus is in that moment where he's like, I'm getting alone with my dad. And you know what? He's your dad too. The Heavenly Father is the most important father that any of us have, even more than our own dads. Are we spending time with him like that? Are we saying, nah, I just want to get alone with you and just tell you how much I love you and spend time with you? This was so important to Jesus. If we want to live gospel lives, this needs to be important to us as well. And then it says what he did there, okay? It says that he went off and he prayed. He didn't just go hang out. He didn't just go, like, pick flowers and stuff like that, or write in a little diary thingamajig or whatever, drop pictures. He actually went and he prayed. How many of you guys have prayed for, like, I don't know, let's say, like, you've prayed for an hour. Anybody pray for a whole hour? Like, you try, you ever, like, when I was little, I've sat down, and I would be like, okay, I'm going to see how long I could pray, like it was like some test, you know, like, oh, let's see how long it was. You know, God's not concerned really with the length of our prayer, but the heart behind it. The fact that we really come to him and we're like, I just love you so much. Like, I just want to talk to you. I want to tell you what's going on in my life. I want to hear from you. And it's the fact that we really do commune with God. We really do talk to him in an intimate way. And so Jesus went and he's just like, man, he's pouring his heart out to God. We don't know what was actually said in this prayer, but it was early in the morning. It was a while because they're out looking for him. So he spent some time talking to his God and he prayed. And I think he asked things like for strength. I think he asked God to help him have the strength to be able to go out and keep witnessing to people and telling them about salvation. That he would have the strength to be able to go out and keep healing people and casting out demons and doing the right thing and stay on mission. I think he might have even asked, God, should I stay in this town or should I move on? Like, there's a lot of people that are going to be back there looking for me. And I care about them and I love them and I know they have needs. I don't know, should I move on or should I stay? And he's looking for direction from God. Do you guys do that? Do you get with God and ask him, like, what do you want from my life? Like, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to talk to in my day? Is there someone, God, that you want me to speak with that needs to hear your word? That needs to hear about Jesus? Is there someone that you want me to go to maybe at school and just give a big hug to because I know they're hurting? Do you want me to encourage my parents? Like, God, what is it you want from me? And so my question to you guys is, do you do that? Do you ask God, like, give me direction. Tell me what it is you want me to do. Because I bet Jesus was sitting there just asking God, what's next? What would you have me do? You're like, Rob, this all sounds great, but it takes so much time. How do we do this? How do we spend this time in prayer? There's an awesome quote that I love. Martin Luther, not King Jr., the day that we just had day off. Everybody's like, woo, day off school. Not him. One of our church fathers, Martin Luther, he said, I am too busy not to make the time to pray. I'm too busy. You know what that means? That no matter how busy our lives get, the more busy they are, the more we need to pray for it, right? Because everything is just going to be hectic and chaotic, and we need that prayer time to be able to bring us through that. And so Jesus is in this boat where there's all these people outside his door, and he's like, wow, I could be back there just working really hard right now. I don't have time to pray to you, God. But instead, he was like, whew, you know what? I need to get out, get alone, and pray, because I'd never be able to handle what's coming next if I don't beg my God for strength to do it. And so prayer was super important to him. And it's more important than just having quality time with him. It's big. Prayer is powerful. You know, it's kind of, I'm just going to tell you lots of hunting stories tonight, because for some reason that was the only thing that came to my mind this week when I was preparing. So you get another hunting story. I was out and we were duck hunting. Matt Denyer took me to this crazy swamp. Literally swamp. I'm like, why are we here? What is this? And it stunk. It was a mess. And he's like, well, you probably need some waders. You guys know what waders are? Like, we wear them when we baptize people in big church. You don't see them because we put the robe over it, but they're like these big boot things that come up so you don't get wet. Okay, so I'm like, nah, I don't need those. I don't need waders for anything. No point in that. I'll just wear my jeans and my boots. He's like, no, you're going to need them because bad stuff will happen. No, I'm good. So we go out there and he kind of like goes off hunts. And I go off my way, and what happens right away? Nothing. I'm good. I'm like, see, Matt? No big deal. This is good. I was right. You were wrong. And as I'm walking, all of a sudden, after a few feet, when they're finally out of like view, I sink. But I don't just sink a little bit. I sink like up to here, okay? All the way up to here. And so I'm like, no big deal. I'm going to pull myself out of this. And so I lean to one side. But you know what? The more I lean to that side to pull this leg out, guess what happened to this leg? I'll just go the other way, no big deal. Oh, wait a second. And the more I did that, I ended up to like here. So now I'm up to my chest in mud that smelled horrible, and I'm kind of near the edge of the swamp where some woods are, and I'm like just sitting there. Hey, guys, when are you coming back? What's going on? Stuck in the mud like a little talking head, you know? I'm just sitting there like a Mr. Potato Head, and all of a sudden I hear some rustling in the bushes. Yeah. And I look over and I'm like, what's that? When out come, Justin can attest to this, out come, how many? 15, 10, big fat hogs. You guys know what hogs? Yeah, like hogs with like razor teeth and like horn, like, yeah. Okay, so they come out of the, and I'm stuck in the mud and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm gonna die. Like, I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck. These hogs can come over and do whatever they want to me. They can lick my ears. They can spit in my face. They can do whatever they want. I'm stuck and I'm scared out of my mind. I'm like, Matt, Justin. I'm like yelling, come back. And I'm stuck on the side of the mud. It was horrible. Now, here's the deal, okay? Eventually, I didn't die, so I'm still here. It's okay. you can ask me the rest of the story later. I'll tell you how it ends, but not right now. So, here's the deal. I was thinking about that when I was thinking about prayer, because prayer kind of like is that thing where we think we can just run out there and we don't need it that bad. Like, oh, it's okay. The swamp's not so bad. Life isn't so bad. I can make this. And all of a sudden, because we don't have prayer to get us ready for this thing, we sink. We sink straight in and we're stuck and we're like, wow, I should have saw this coming. But sometimes we think we can make it without prayer. You know that the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, the creator and sustainer of everything that exists, prayed. And sometimes we feel like we don't need it. Like, oh, that's okay. I'll be all right. Sometimes we feel like we'll be okay, even though Jesus himself needed it, that he woke up early and left and begged God in prayer, we feel like we're good without it. I'll tell you what, it's powerful. Jesus wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't. We need that. I don't know if you guys pray. I don't know if you have a quiet time where you get alone completely with God and just beg him. But you need to. You need to talk to your creator. Ask him what he wants for your life. Tell him how much you love him. Just talk to him like he's your father and spend that quality time with him. Okay, we're almost done. And then it says that in verse 36, and Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone's looking for you. Like, it's crazy that these guys were so, like, disturbed that Jesus wasn't there. What are you doing? These people, there's all these people who are sick and all these people looking for you. They're all lined up at the house and they need you right now. You need to get back there, Jesus. You can kind of hear they're like all worked up. Like, everybody's looking for you. Probably doing one of these, you know? And so Jesus looks back at them and you know what he says? He's not like, well, I think they'll be okay. He goes like this. He says, wait, I lost it. Hold on. Let's go on to the next town. That's his answer. It wasn't, hey guys, don't worry about it. We'll stop by on the way and then we'll talk to them and let them, we'll send word. It was just, hey, let's go on to the next town. It was almost like he just ignored like the fear that they had and the worry about these people. And it was like, I just talked to my father. And I just know, he just told me that it's okay to move on to the next town. And I trust him so much and the way he's directing me that I'll just go. Whew. There's a lot in this because I feel like a lot of times we kind of have this thing that even things that look good in our life, they look really good. Like these people needed help, legitimately were sick and had all sorts of stuff going on. They needed Christ. And it looked like legitimate ministry and it was all good stuff, but it wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's plan. And Jesus was able to, because he was in communion with his Father, was able to say, even though that's all good stuff, it's not where God's leading me right now. And that's hard to do. Because sometimes we see, even in church, especially in church, things that look like really good things. And they are. But sometimes they're just not God's will. And he's saying, hey, look, this is what I want you to do. And you guys have that type of relationship with God where you're able to say, whatever you tell me, Lord, I'm going to trust it. Even if it sounds crazy, whatever you tell me, I'm going to find it in your word, and I'm going to trust your promises. Because that's what a gospel life looks like. You are so wrapped around your God that when he tells you to move, you're like, okay, I'm going. Like, I'm willing. Send me. So Jesus did that. I think that's awesome. He just kind of like looked right over the worry and was just like, don't worry. My God's got this. And then you might be asking like, well, why were they looking for him so hard? Like, why are all these people showing up in masses at his front door? What do you guys think? What brought them there?
They heard of what he could do.
Yeah. Like, they had met him, right? or had at least seen or heard from somebody who saw the awesome stuff that Jesus was doing? What if you knew somebody that was like, I don't know, paralyzed your whole life? They've always been in a wheelchair. And all of a sudden you're like, yeah, so Adam was over their house and he like touched him and all of a sudden the dude's up and like I saw him running, playing nine square in the air outside Firehouse. Like the dude never walked before. Who would you want to talk to real soon after that? Adam, because Adam's over there touching people, making them walk. It's like, what? Let's go talk to Adam. Like these people had had an encounter with Jesus and he was doing awesome stuff. They wanted to see him. They wanted to see this great guy that they had heard so much about or seen him do some really awesome stuff. Now, a lot of those people were probably just in it, like we saw when we studied John 6. A lot of those people who just wanted like the fish and the bread, like give me another meal, do another miracle. It could have been a lot of people like that. But you know the truth that I see in this is that these people were really, really passionate about seeing the Son of God. They met him, and they were really passionate about seeing him again. And then I think about us who have met Jesus, who he has given us salvation, he's changed our entire lives. Sometimes we lose that passion to be like, where is he? We're looking for him. Like, I want to know him more. Like, even these people were searching him out, and we have an intimate relationship with him, but yet sometimes we lose that passion. Some of us maybe at this point have never had that passion. We don't even understand it yet. But a gospel life says, I want to run crazily after my Jesus. And these people were doing it. Look at James 4:8 says this, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And then finally, Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, Jesus wants you to seek him. All those verses talk about how we should be drawing near and seeking after God, looking for Jesus like these people were. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you waking up early in the morning excited to just get around the Word and study about him and learn about him and talk to him? Do you love him in that way that your gospel life says, I'm just so in love with you, I can't get enough of you? You know how you do that? You know how you get there? You get into the Word. Doesn't that sound crazy? The more you know him, the more you fall in love with him. But if you never get to know him, how are you ever going to fall in love with him? So I think it's awesome that these people probably didn't even get it yet, and they just wanted to like seek after Jesus. I think we could learn a lesson from that. And then verse 38. It's our last verses here. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns. Right, that's what Jesus said. That I may preach there also. For that is why I came. You know that Jesus' mission was really clear to him. He knew why he came. He's like, yeah, it's good that I'm healing people. It's good that I'm able to love on these people that need it because I should and I deeply care for them. But I remember why I came. And as I get with my Father, he reminds me of my mission. What does he say his mission is? Did you hear it in the verse? Why did Jesus come? That I may preach. He needed to share this good news that he's given to us and says, all right, now you go share it. That's your mission. So as you're living a gospel life and you're supposed to be doing what Jesus is doing, guess what he wants you to do? Share that gospel with people. How many of you guys are doing that? How many of you guys have taken the challenge from last couple weeks and you picked your five? You have five people now that you've thought about? Ask each other. Sometime before next week, ask somebody else in this room, hey, who's your five? Did you figure it out yet? Just see. And if like you haven't thought of them yet, go home, or maybe even right now as you're sitting there blocking me out anyway, think about your five. Think about five people that you could share the gospel with. All right? And so Jesus was all about that. Look at Isaiah 61:1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Why? To bring good news. Jesus came to bring that good news. Now listen, Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came, why? Read it.
To seek and to save the lost.
Here's our mission, guys. That's your verse? That's our mission. That's a great verse to have, because that's our mission if we're going to live gospel lives, is to do what Christ did, to bring this good news to the lost. Now listen, I want to leave you guys with this. What is our, one more time, we're going to walk through our church mission statement. Because there's a reason why we picked this thing. Because it's directly from the Bible. It's what Jesus told us we should have as our mission. So, can you guys tell me what the church mission statement is? Good. The whole thing is this. To glorify God, because that's the most important thing, to bring God glory. By making disciples. What's making disciples? You guys were telling me this earlier. What's to make it, what do you, how do we make a disciple? Okay. And to make disciples, to do what? Love God, love people, and then they go into the world and do the same thing. They go make disciples who love God and love people, and then they go into the world. And you know, the more you do that, the more people are going to hear this good news that they desperately need. All right. Good. I want you to be picking your five this week, all right? Be thinking about five people that God lays in your heart. Will you pray with me? Father God, we love you and we thank you that Jesus is such an awesome example for us. Lord, I pray that we would just learn how to beg you in prayer and spend time with you and enjoy you. God, give us awesome relationships that are alive. God, we love you so much. I pray that you would teach us, Father, exactly what it means to follow your mission, to not get distracted by everything else, but God, to be just focused on what it is you've called us to do. Because you really are the most important thing in our life. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.